The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
It's been a good one so far. The new athletic director at UGA joined us, as well as Booger McFarland. We're going to talk about an article that's come up a couple of times on this program since Monday night. And it was in USA Today in the aftermath of Alabama's huge win. How to break up Nick Saban's monopoly at Alabama to improve college football. Brent Schoedenbroer joins us now. And Brent, thank you very much for the time. I always admire a writer and a columnist that can get everyone's attention, and you did. Good afternoon, and thank you for making time for us.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
I think some read the piece or saw it somewhere and may have misunderstood a little bit. I mean, you talk about Saban winning again, looking maybe a little bored in the aftermath. You give him a lot of credit for a superb coaching job. And then you get into some of the questions that we want to talk about. Is this what he is doing really good for college football? Let's discuss the whole thing in some and tell us about your mind, your thought process as you went to putting this together.
Yeah, I'm looking at this from a national perspective. And if I'm the commissioner of college football, it's a job that doesn't exist, but I think maybe should, to look after the national interests of the sport. If I'm in a position like that, I'm looking at what's happened where one team dominates and wins the championship nearly every year, and then in effect gets most of the first round draft picks, so to speak, in recruiting every year, as something that I'm concerned about, because I'd be concerned about growing the game nationally beyond Alabama, beyond the South, beyond the Midwest. You don't want it to just be a regional product where half the country west of Kansas feels irrelevant and really isn't paying attention, because as we've seen with the viewership numbers Monday night, it was the least watched playoff championship game ever. And I think one reason for that obviously is a lopsided game, but also I think half the country looked at it and thought it was a rerun from previous years and sort of the same old, same old. And I think that's a problem if you want to grow the game, especially out west, and in California in particular. It is the nation's most populous state, and we've got recruits out here. And if we look at next year's preseason rankings, it's Alabama and Clemson again, number one and two, and look who the quarterbacks are going to be. They're both from Los Angeles, California. So we've got a bit of an issue here, I think, nationally. If you want to grow the game and you want to sell the game to youngsters in California, they got to grow up with teams that are a little bit more relevant in their backyard.
Yeah, Brandon, and I've seen a lot of people talk about the numbers for the game. The numbers were significantly worse than last year, and the game last year was a second-half blowout as well. And there have been some the numbers were just starkly worse than anything we have ever seen in the modern era. In terms of what you said, other than expanding the playoff, is there any other way to do that?
Well, one thing I brought up is something that has precedent. We could reduce the scholarship limit again. You know, I brought that up because it's been done before in college football. The scholarship limit per team now is 85. Well, it used to be back in the day, 60s, 70s, it used to be like 115. And then it went down to 95, I think, in the 1980s. And then now it's 85. And the reason they brought it down is for similar reasons. There were teams such as Texas and Oklahoma that were hoarding players who had really no shot at playing for those teams, but the coaches who were recruiting them didn't want those players to play for other teams. So it became like this stockpiling thing where they had to break it up, and so they reduced it. And now it's a flawed solution to this issue. I'm the first to acknowledge it, because this is really not the time to take away scholarship opportunities from players. At the same time, we're having this big national conversation about how can we better compensate players with all this money flushing through the system. So I think it's like a starting point of a negotiation, though, because if you did reduce the rosters, I think you'd have to give something back to the players in return in the form of compensation or more teams or something like that.
So Brent, other than that, which I think we would both agree is not likely to happen, what else can be done?
Well, there's a natural way that might solve all this, and that is I don't think Nick Saban is going to coach forever. You know, I think he probably has another good 5 years in him if he wanted to do it. But I think what we're going to see is when he does retire, whether that's 2 or 5 years from now, there is going to be a drop-off maybe, unless Dabo wants the job. I think only he is capable of, like, keeping Alabama at the level that it is. It's just that Saban is such a magnetic recruiter, and he's become so famed for winning that there are recruits in California and L.A. that they want to play for him and really nobody else if they can. And so I think that's like a natural way where this stranglehold will break up. And I mean this all as like a credit and a compliment to Alabama. They deserve everything they've got. It's just I'm just looking at the national picture and the health of the game overall from coast to coast.
Brent, I understand, and listen, you're not the only one. I'm sure there are plenty of people who are frustrated, and but I wonder, you know, aside from Nick Saban, if the sport can't do more, because it does seem like the same schools every year, and I do think that's there is a fatigue. I mean, for you and I both know, in years past, it's I can't believe we have to watch Alabama and Clemson again. This year that changed. We thought for the better, and it didn't seem to make any difference.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, before Saban arrived at Alabama, I think they had a losing season under Mike Shula. It was 6-7.
Right.
And that finished a decade in which for those 10 years before Saban arrived at Alabama, a different team won the national championship every other year. And that was under the old BCS. A different team won every year. And like and it ranged from like Texas to Oklahoma to Nebraska and Michigan and USC. And so it was the BCS system, and I'm not sure exactly why that is. And it might be because maybe the BCS system, you know, it was a 1-2. It was one game. It was no playoff. I wonder if the old BCS system sort of disguised the disparity a little bit more, where you thought maybe like more teams had a chance to win it all, whereas now in the playoff, you see there's just big drop-off between Alabama and sometimes Clemson and just the rest of the field. So I haven't figured that one out yet, but there was certainly a lot more parity back in the day.
Certainly, Brent, it's cliche to say, well, if you want to be the man, you have to beat the man. But you think it's beyond that. As long as Nick Saban is relevant and healthy, we're going to keep seeing more of this?
Yeah, and that's a great point because, you know, that's a lot of people like to say that. Well, just beat him. Just out-recruit him. Just beat him on the field. And, yeah, ideally that would be the case, but we have reached sort of a point where there's this compounding success now under Saban where he's become so good and is particularly so good at recruiting that they're just – if you're – a top 100 recruit or top 50 recruit, that is definitely the coach you want to play for because you know you're not only going to play for the championship, but you're going to have a shot at the NFL. And it's just sort of compounds itself where it just keeps feeding off of itself, unlike anything really I've ever seen. I mean, we've seen other dynasties sort of come and go in college football, like USC. It wasn't so long ago before Saban arrived at Alabama that Pete Carroll had a pretty good run at USC, and it was kind of the same thing a little bit for a while, but I think they won one or two championships. I'd have to look it up. It was just on a much smaller scale than what we're seeing now, and I think it's just a different animal now under Saban.
And I would like to get your thoughts on the broader view. I believe you live in California, is that correct?
Yes.
So, because you know, we're in the South, and we don't think anything else exists. But I'm curious from the West Coast. Describe to us what college football is like, and especially as we get to the most important part of the college football season, which was last Monday night.
It's very different. You know, I've lived in Alabama. I used to cover Auburn for the Press Register in Mobile. I've lived in Texas. I cover Texas Tech, and now I live in California, in Southern California. And so I've noticed the differences culturally in college football, and it's always sort of been fair weather in California. They really get behind a winner when a team is doing well. USC used to pack the Coliseum back in the day under Pete Carroll, and now, you know, it's nowhere close to that after the drop-off, after Pete Carroll went to the NFL. There are a lot of college football fans out here. They do support the teams when they're winning. So there's always been this built-in cultural factor of it's not going to be like Alabama, where you're talking about the Iron Bowl 365 days a year. It's not like that at all. So there's a little bit of that flavor built in. But at the same time, we still got a lot of these high school powerhouses that are producing a lot of good recruits. And now all these recruits want to play for Ohio State and Clemson and Alabama, you know, Georgia too. They got an LA quarterback, JT Daniels. And that's basically what it's been. So, I mean, there's always that built in, but, you know, you'd still think that one out of every, your top four or five teams would be a Western team, just based on population and the number of teams that are out here.
But I wonder if you haven't discovered maybe what the problem is, in a sense, is that you have, you know, supposedly big-time programs out there. Chip Kelly went to UCLA. You have SC. You have other programs. And if the players don't want to stay there, then how – I know you're not – say how is it anyone else's fault but the West Coast's fault? And I realize we're trying to get the West Coast involved, but they're not.
Yeah, there is sort of a demand factor built in. You know, one thing that sort of compounded this issue really too is the advent of these regionalized conference cable networks, like the Big Ten Network and, of course, the SEC Network. And there's the Pac-12 Network, which gets far less subscribers than what they do in the Big Ten. It commands far less per subscriber than the Big Ten or the SEC, which just kind of shows you there is much less demand for college football out west than there is back in the South and the Midwest. But at the same time, you know, the Pac-12 has traditional powerhouses. California is the biggest economy in the United States. It still produces a lot of recruits. And they have 25% of the population west of Kansas. And if you're in charge of college football, you still care about these metro areas such as L.A. and Seattle and Phoenix and Denver and the Bay Area of California, where you want to grow the game. You want kids to grow up from a young age hooked on college football. You want them to play college football. You want them to watch college football and buy college football products. And otherwise, you're kind of just selling. You're giving up on a big chunk of a market where you need to be.
And not only that, you have players from Hawaii like Tua Tagovailoa doing the exact same thing. Not that I'm talking about Hawaii being a major area, but those players, as you know, used to go to the California schools.
They did.
Or Oregon or something like that.
Absolutely. Those players often went to like BYU or USC and a lot of the West Coast teams, and it just – the game has become more nationalized, and because these leagues have been able to sort of capitalize on their popularity regionally through the SEC network and the Big Ten network, and they get so much more money now than the Pac-12 that we've started to see some of these coaches in the Pac-12 leave for other schools. Like, you know, just last year, the coach at Colorado left for Michigan State because they doubled his salary. And I guess Colorado, if they really wanted to pay him or double his salary, they could have. But, you know, there's also a cultural thing where their values are such that they don't want to double a salary for a coach that just went 5-7. So all these sort of things factor in.
Brent, good to talk to you again. Thank you for coming by. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks
you
a
got
lot.
It, Brent. Schrodenboer with his take. And again, we had, who did we have on the other day from South Carolina? Kendall, Josh Kendall with, somebody's got to go, just go to Nick Saban and say, you're ruining the game. You need to retire. So everyone will be happier. Anyway, we'll take a break, get your reaction. A lot happening on this program between Brent and Booger and everyone else. Dawn Staley in the final hour. Your calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. What a program it's been on a Friday afternoon, and Bill is in Ohio. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Paul. I was going to say the exact same thing. It's been a great show.
Thank you so much.
I could talk college football about, all day. But I tuned in when the guy was bashing the Big Ten. Can I do a little bit of that?
Go right ahead.
More specifically, Michigan and Harbaugh. I know they were having a lousy year, let's just say that. But I, in my opinion, they quit. They flat out quit. They just didn't want to play. That's just the way I saw it. And it just by coincidence, it all happened just before Ohio State. But and then Harbaugh, I think he has an identity crisis. I mean, he thinks he's Bo Schembechler. He wears that stupid hat, those stupid glasses. He's no Bo. I'm telling you, he's no Bo. But, hey, just a little bit of a what a small world it is. I'm not one of the guys that thinks Nick's ruining college football. I love Nick Saban. And just by coincidence, the plant manager at my factory was his first quarterback when he started coaching at Toledo.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
That was kind of cool.
That's really quite a story.
It's funny. But and then another thing, when you guys were talking about some of these, big recruits, why do you think some of the kids want to go maybe to Alabama or LSU or Ohio State and sit behind, other when they could go somewhere else and play? They're probably second and third strings on those teams to play about anywhere they want to
play. Bill, what's interesting is most of these players think that they are so good that it won't matter.
Are they competing?
Well, some of them are. But, what's interesting is the playoffs have created this because now if you're a player in California or Ohio or anywhere else, you think about the marquee teams, and there are only a handful. So instead of making this a more expanding the field, the playoff, I think, has really shrunk the field of possibilities. Ken is in South Carolina. Ken, welcome.
How are you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
All right. I want to make a comment on politics and college football.
Okay.
They need to leave it out. Like it made all the coaches get up there and support the Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are police brutality out there. It's out there. But does that mean you have to get out there, burn stuff down, and tear stuff down? No. But they made all the coaches support it. If I'd have been Nick Saban, I think I would say, I'll resign, I'll quit, I'll retire. I'm not doing it.
you think about the marquee teams, and there are only a handful. So,
Dave is up next. Thank you for the call, Ken. Go right ahead, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Before I get to my main point, make one real quickly here. If you want to have a college football champion, keep it at two or four teams, because the argument between who's number four and number five really doesn't matter. You expand it to number eight, there's going to be 20 teams claiming to be number eight. but if it's all about money, which it is, and you know it is, we all know it is, it'll go to that eventually. My main point is about I'm an old geezer myself. I'm a 69 Kentucky basketball fan. People hear things how they want to hear it. They hear Black Lives Matter. Some people think of it as all lives matter. Black lives do matter, too. And some people look at it as something that it's not. Okay? As far as kids kneeling, the people who complain about the kids kneeling don't know what the kids are kneeling about. They take it as an affront to law enforcement. They take it as an affront to the country. They take it as an affront to our military. They take it as an affront to our flag. And that's not what it is. If they would listen to why these individuals do what they do when they do it. Criticizing Calipari for kneeling with his kids is wrong, too. He went to his kids. He said, I love you guys. You're good kids. You're doing this. I know why you're doing it. If you want me to back you on this, too, I will. And he did. That's what a good teacher does. That's what a good parent does. That's what a good coach does. If they have good kids and their good kids are well-meaning, you back them up. Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Big Dave is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Big Dave.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Love the program. But as much as I love the program, I wish you would do us all a favor and not have the ding-dong from California that was just on. You made a couple of comments, Paul, that are unbelievable to me. Number one was, if you want to grow the sport nationwide, this guy, understand that we're not talking about cornhole, we're talking about college football.
Right.
Number two, he used the excuse of, as part of the problem out west in California, which they have enough other problems of their own, the problem was the regionalizing of the sports networks, such as the SEC network and the Pac-10 network. And his reasoning being is they don't have nearly as many subscribers in the Pac-10 network as the SEC network does. I mean, man, that guy was just...
Yeah, Dave, let me address that for a second. And I feel like I have, you know, some qualifications. I was the first talent hired for the SEC network. So I played a role in trying to sell it to not only fans, but to cable companies. I mean, we're talking about the big ones. I mean, we went around and met with them and did presentations. Tebow and I did, and others. And we just weren't awarded success. And the chairman of Disney, on the day we launched, said it was the most successful cable launch in history. On the day that it came out in terms of distribution, so I'm not crying for the Pac-12 network. I really don't care one way or the other, but I do care about this network. And I agree with you. For someone to diminish the success of a lot of people and forget me, the reason why the SEC network was successful and is successful is because of the SEC schools. That's the main thing that we are selling and have been selling since it was launched.
Well, it's the same reasoning. He gave the same reasoning. My perception was to that, as with Saban and the success
right
at Alabama. It's not like Saban's success was granted.
No.
I mean, he came in there. Who was?
I mean, it's worth remembering, and I think Nick Saban inherited a team that went 6-7. His first season in 2007, Alabama, the same school that we saw win the national championship in 6 out of the last 12, lost at home to Louisiana Monroe. So, yeah, he wasn't gifted 5 stars. He went out and he signed them, and his first big recruit was Julio Jones, one of the best players Alabama's ever had, and that led to everything that has happened since. We'll take a break. Don Staley, who's done a pretty similar job in many ways at South Carolina with the women's basketball team, will join us in a couple of minutes. We are back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back, and Jeff is up next in Columbus. Oh, how are you, Jeff?
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I heard a couple nights ago you might be in the market for a baseball bat. I was just kind of curious what your favorite brand is, the Louisville Slugger, a Mizuno, or a Rawlings, because I want to send you one.
Yeah, I'd probably go back to the, you know, my youth. My go-to bat was the Louisville Slugger. I know it's they're different bats now, but yeah, if you could send me that one, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, because it sounds like you need to take care of somebody with it. Is that true?
Jeff, you
or
really...
Or you want an Adirondack, like a big hickory or something.
Yeah, do you think an aluminum would hurt more, or do you think the old Louisville Slugger? Either one is fine with me.
I mean, I'm partial on all-wood bat, Paul.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll send you a good old Louisville Slugger, probably. See what you can do with it. I mean, that's what it sounded like. You wanted to take it out on somebody with your boy Rick in California.
Yeah, I can see you've taken this loss really well there, Jeff.
I'm doing great. I wasn't threatening anybody. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. Hey, who hasn't complimented Saban more than myself? I credit the guy for everything he's done because that's the standard. And when Urban Meyer came to Ohio State, he changed the culture up here at Ohio State that has allowed it to continue. And that's what people need to realize at all these other schools. You can change the culture. You can change how you recruit. It's just that people don't have the outline or the foresight to develop that. I mean, don't you agree? Urban came up here and totally changed the culture of Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think if Urban Meyer hadn't blown the Zach Smith situation, he might still be there. And if he had been there for 12 or 13 years, he would have a chance to do what Nick Saban is doing. But the problem with Urban Meyer is that he's never been able to stay anyplace very long because he burns out.
Right. But when he came here, he brought a whole different mentality.
Of course he did. He's a great coach.
He was the first coach that had the backbone to say, I'm not going to take a kid from Ohio just because he's from Ohio.
Right.
That's where it dramatically changed. He went to get the best players nationally, and if that kid was from Ohio, it was a bonus. But he also did not take certain kids and got a little bit of heat at the beginning that were from Ohio, but he knew he could go to, say, you know, Georgia, Atlanta, Texas, and get a kid that might just be that one step better and quicker, that was going to make the difference. And he was the first coach, in my feeling, that developed that culture here at Ohio State in recruiting.
That's great.
I mean, do you agree or not?
Yeah, just got through saying I agree.
Okay. All right, well, just keep playing to your base, Paul. You're doing a good job. That's what you're best at. I appreciate it.
Hey, Jeff, my base is, are people that care about college football and an honest conversation, not those who come by and with a drive-by shot at Saban or somebody else propagating their own team, which only lost by 28 points Monday night. But thank you very much for the call. And we will continue and talk to Kevin, who is up next. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how you doing today?
Kevin, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I want to touch on a couple of things. One, the main thing is Coach Saban and his career and all this organic fertilizer around his retirement. But first, I want to say something to you and for you, because I'm truly concerned about your health and well-being. You haven't heard this in a while, and I know it'll do you some good, and nobody else will step up to the plate for it. So just for that. Pow! How that makes you feel better?
It did. I feel much better. Yeah. Thank you.
One thing about Coach Saban and his career, I keep in it, and I have to laugh every time I listen to a journalist, analyst, and no offense, Paul, even you, missing out on the big picture. And talking about Coach Saban and all he's accomplished and all he's done and all the winnings and all the trophies, and he has nothing left to prove. And one thing that Coach Saban does that he probably loses sleep over more than losing those two championships is having his defense torched. Because Coach Saban is a defensive mastermind, and that's what he does. And I think for him, in his mind, what he has left to him to prove to himself is that he can recruit and coach and develop a defense that can shut down these spread, hurry-up, no-huddle offense and just stop them cold in their track. And I think when he does that, he'll feel like he's accomplished everything. But I think if he reaches retirement before he does that, he's going to feel defeated because, by the way, that's
a unique approach, Kevin. I haven't really heard anybody say that, but you're 100% correct. That drives him crazy. Kevin, thank you. Ivan is up next. Hello, Ivan.
Well, I just have to say, Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I haven't been able to listen a lot this week, so I'm not really sure what happened in regards to our great commissioner, Greg Sankey. Monday was unbelievable. He was on the other network, and he was on there with that yabba from the Big Ten. And he gave him a little. He kind of said, maybe a different team should have been in there or whatever. And he was very stoic, and he was, he could just tell he didn't really want to be on the set with that guy. Then he comes over to the good network, the SEC, and he was so emotional and he was so thankful that we got to this point. And we just can't give this guy enough props for making college football happen this year.
You're right. And I didn't see the interview with Kevin Warren, but I know Kevin Warren, and I can hear him talking as you described it. But
it was like two different people those two interviews, and they were almost back to back.
Well, here's the frustration here.
On the stage with that guy.
No.
And he was so emotional when he came over here. And thank God for Greg Sankey and saving college football this year. And the Big Ten didn't deserve to be in it because they tried to end college football.
Ivan, you're right. I can't argue with you. I think the most frustrating part for Greg and Greg Sankey and all the other commissioners is that Kevin Warren went rogue. And he nearly destroyed the season when he did that. He recovered later and got his team in the finals, but
say enough good things.
Yeah, well, I agree. I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
Great. Well said. Thank you. Great point. And we are heading to a break. Dawn Staley in a few minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And the welcome back. Great to have all of you here on a Friday afternoon. We are knocking on the door of the weekend, and let's get some more calls here. And Randy is in Dallas. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, was listening to that conversation around some of the decline in viewership at the national championship game, but looking at these TV contracts, I guess.
Let me see if I can get you still there, Randy?
Can you help kind of reconcile those two for us?
Yeah, no, let me ask you. I lost a couple of seconds of what you said, so if you, I hate to ask you to repeat it, but my button came undone and I missed what you said.
No, I was asking to, you know, get some clarity. It seems like viewership may be down at the national championship level, but the TV contracts around the country seem to be dollar-wise getting bigger and bigger.
Well, let me say this about television in general. You know, it's under a lot of pressure because of streaming and obviously Netflix. But the number one commodity on network and cable television are live sporting events. So I do think this year is somewhat of an outlier. College football was down this year. The SEC championship game was down. It happened to also be up against an NFL game, which did not help. The NFL numbers are extremely high, and I think they'll rocket up over these next two or three weeks. But in terms of the SEC contract with ESPN, I think it's incredibly valuable. And, you know, the only question is when does it go into effect? CBS still has three more years on its contract, and there are at least speculation. It's not like anybody's telling me that maybe it would end sooner. But it's still very valuable, and I think the college football playoff is a different set of circumstances, and they do need to fix it. I think it's on the wrong night. And, you know, Monday night after 2 days of NFL wild card games just does not work.
Gotcha.
Thank you for the call. Really good to hear from you. We heard from this guy the other day, and I believe he was having a heart procedure today. Is that correct, Larry?
Hello.
Larry, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I can hear you.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. How about you?
So did you have your thing today?
Yeah, well, it's a preliminary thing. I thought it was my surgery, but it's a preliminary thing where they go up around there and run all this stuff. And they are confirmed that my valves had a bad leak. So now I got to come back in 1 month and do all that. Then they go in there and replace the valve. So I got to be here at 10 o'clock. No, I got here at 7:30 this morning.
So you're still at the, wherever you are?
Hospital. Yes,
hospital.
Chevy Baptist.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching the live TV. I'm watching you work, man.
What are you on right now, Larry?
Huh?
It sounds like they have you on some sort of medication.
Oh, yeah, I'm coming down a little bit. I was trying to get them to give me some more, but they won't.
I wouldn't mind some of that. Sounds pretty good.
I thought I'd holler at you, man, let you know. But my friends, I have some buddies was wondering. But, yeah, I'll be out of here at 10 o'clock.
Larry, how did you handle Monday night?
I'm going to tell you, I broke all my rules about drinking. I went back to the 24.
You had 24 beers?
Yeah, I can't help it. I can't help it.
24 beers? I
mean, that game deserved 24. If any other game ever deserved 24 beers, that was awesome.
And Larry, your doctors told you not to drink anything? Is that correct?
No, just not that night they didn't. He told me just to go easy, two or three beers a day, you know, wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, by the way, Larry, two or three beers would put me out for the rest of the week. 24 would kill me. Anyway, I feel better. I like how Larry's listening to the cardiologist down there. 24 beers to celebrate a national championship. Don Staley will join us next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.